Hello, I am Dave Thomas, your host for this episode of The Good Word. This quarter, we have been looking at background characters of the Old Testament. If you are familiar with the Old Testament, you know that there are many names and persons that are found in the Old Testament. Some of them rise to prominence and are well known across the spectrum. Others, they appear in little corners of people's lives, and for some reason the author of the lessons for this quarter has elected to look at some of these background characters. I'm very happy to have with me here today two colleagues, Zdravko Stefanovic, a professor of Old Testament studies, and Paul Dibdahl, a missiologist. So gentlemen, what can we learn, what do we know about Abiathar or Abiathar? I've heard his name mentioned both ways.
Well, he was from the house of Eli, fourth actually in descent from the house of Eli.
A priestly family,
yeah. Yes. And he was one of the only, in fact, the only priest who escaped Saul's massacre. Again, that story may not be very well known either. But
so, a quick thumb sketch. What's the massacre all about?
Well, when the Israelites entered the Promised Land, their first sanctuary was in the city of Shiloh, in the heart of Israel. And the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, they destroyed that place. And apparently, the sanctuary was now moved to the south, very close to the city of Jerusalem, just slightly north of Jerusalem, to the city of Nob. And that is where the tent of meeting was located. And one of the descendants of Eli, the priest, by the name of Ahimelech, he was the high priest there, basically the guardian of the Ark of the Covenant.
And so why did Saul massacre the priest? So that seems like it would be a very scary thing to do.
David has been running away from Saul, and he was in a desperate situation. And when we read these chapters from 1 Samuel, around chapter 20, David does a number of unusual things which border with dishonesty. Mm. And in order to survive, and as he comes to Ahimelech, he does not speak the truth. He never says that he is running away from Saul, and he is able to get some food and a sword from the high priest at Nob, which, of course, later on enraged Saul, thinking that the high priest had sided with David, and Saul basically kills hundreds of people. It's estimated somewhere between 300 and 350 people, not just the priests, but their families and even the livestock.
So this is an act of, in a sense, of political revenge, and Abiathar is the only priest who survived that.
Who escaped, yeah.
He
wow.
escapes, and he goes to David. And then that's kind of where the story continues on, is our Abiathar's interactions with David down through the years.
Mm-hmm. David becomes Abiathar's protector, and on the other hand, the two men become very close because their situations were very similar. Both the lives of both were endangered by Saul's anger and a threat that Saul felt.
So what do we know of any that's significant about Abiathar's life, other than the fact that he survived political intrigue? I mean, did he become significant in any way in David's era?
He proved to be of great service, I think, to David. David calls for him a number of occasions to consult with him. Abiathar brought with him the ephod, as well as some other priestly items.
And just for people who might not know, the ephod was what?
It was a part of the priestly garment that was considered to be sacred, and the priest would put that on like a vest when interceding with God or asking for God's will on what to do next.
So how did, I wonder how Abiathar ended up with the ephod. You would think that that would be kept in the temple.
Scholars think that Abiathar must have had previous contacts with David. Mm. So at this critical point, when he saw what was going to happen, he secured that a holy object that was kind of much easier to transport than the Ark of the Covenant. And when we look at the bigger picture of 1 Samuel, this was an important point in Israel's history, because Saul was from the north. He had the support of most of the tribes. David was from the south. Even the wives that he had were mostly from the south. And everybody expected David to continue to reign his whole life in Hebron. But David moves the capital to the city of Jerusalem, which borders between Benjamin, the territory of Saul, and Judah. And this is important because David needed support, and that support was definitely secured now when someone from the priestly family, from the north, hands him over a very sacred object. So it's symbolic of a longer process through which David's son will end up building the temple to God in Jerusalem.
So you're saying then that there's a power shift, a political power shift and a religious power shift that's taking place here from the north moving to the south.
Toward David and away from Saul.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is basically the main theme of 1 Samuel.
So we do know that Abiathar brings the ephod with him, and how did the house of David do in this time? Because I mean, it was tumultuous, the political going back and forth. But I'm wondering if we know what kind of contribution Abiathar made to the stability of those times. You know, oftentimes stability is caused by politics, but it can also be caused by religion. And so, does the religion of David prosper under Abiathar?
Definitely, because I think that it is clear when we read these stories that Saul has come to understand that the Lord is on David's side. Mm. And Samuel had anointed him to be king, and that was apparent. And yet at the same time, politically speaking, David didn't have any power. And at that critical point, you have now Abiathar, who with that sacred object is maintaining the link with the Lord. And that's exactly what David needed prior to his meeting of Abiathar. David was really desperate. I mean, he even had to pretend to be insane in order to save his life.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now Abiathar is helping him. And it's interesting that the story is repeated after Absalom's rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, that Abiathar again helps David a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't know if it would be safe to say that Abiathar was not a perfect man. I admire him in a number of ways because he was so loyal to David and worked well with him, which is not to say that he did not make mistakes, especially toward the end of his life.
So does he ever become like the high priest?
Yes, together with Zadok.
Yeah,
so David appointed two high priests, one from the north and Zadok from the south.
From the south.
Again, very
to bring the country to keep it together.
Yeah.
It was not easy to do that.
Yeah, I guess I never realized that you could have two high priests. Is there other times in history when they had two high priests?
Well, in the time of Christ,
yes.
For a different reason, because at that time the position of the high priest could be purchased for money.
So at what point is the religious picture unified in David's day? Because, I mean, finally, Jerusalem becomes headquarters, does it not? And so at some point, not under Abiathar, I assume, or is it under Abiathar, does the Ark of the Covenant ever come down to David's side?
Yes, definitely, because Abiathar even serves during the beginning years of Solomon.
Oh, yeah.
So he remains in power and then is disgraced and sent to Anathoth, the city where Jeremiah came from.
Yeah, and I want to come to that in a minute here, but the big picture that surrounds Abiathar is that he begins his time in great turmoil, both religious and political. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, I would assume, and also by probably careful maneuvering, if I can use that word in a good sense, this man is able to coalesce the religious side of the picture and benefit David and the political side. And so by the time David dies, what's the picture around Abiathar?
There is a difficult situation about succession, Paul. Would you like
to
say
that? And I think the lesson, which serves as sort of our guide for these discussions, talks about that the closing events of his life as a time when he made a mistake. Now, I don't know if we would necessarily have to agree with that, but he supported Adonijah. Abiathar did support Adonijah as a successor to King David. Whereas it appears as if the Lord supported Solomon, and there was that disagreement, and as a result of that, when Solomon did take power, that's when he I'm not sure the correct term here, deposed Abiathar,
or banished
him.
He
lost his place.
And what do we know about Anathoth? It doesn't sound like a big place.
A Levitical city, basically, again, north of Jerusalem, and basically it was like probably Abiathar's retirement.
Yeah, so he was just moved off to the sidelines, perhaps to a place that was not very prominent. Yes. Wow.
It's difficult not to sympathize with Abiathar in the beginning, because he really lost his whole family.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible tragedy that happened. And yet at the same time, in the midst of that pain, he recognized that the Lord was with David. And of course, David was as desperate as Abiathar, but the two men really bonded.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sometimes wondering if Abiathar did not bring some comfort to David because of the loss of Jonathan.
Oh, yeah. So do we know how Abiathar died, or is that not part of history? I assume he just died of old age or something.
Natural death, as far as we know.
And if I'm not mistaken, that represents the ending of the line of Eli and the priesthood, right?
That's correct.
So the shift is now more and more toward Jerusalem, and that is the purpose of the narrative, to show the building of the temple later on, David's preparation for it, and that was one of the greatest accomplishments of David.
Yeah. So this man actually, he lives in a very interesting, well, in a tumultuous sense, a very interesting and crucial point of history of Israel, where David gains power and consolidates power, so that by the time you come to Solomon, that Israel is now prospering to a great degree. Mm-hmm. Are there any little lessons you think we should take from this man's life?
I'd almost want to go contrary to at least some lessons that I've seen drawn from his life, and that is that I don't think a mistake near the end of one's life wipes out all the good that has come from one's life. So I don't think we should judge Abiathar or Abiathar too harshly, even if at the end maybe he did not choose or make the best decision.
And I would like to add to that very often I find myself in positions of transition in life, and in spite of that, whether we make good choices or sometimes make even mistakes, but are willing to, to see that those are mistakes, God can still work with us and through us.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, thank you for helping us look at this obscure character. And thank you, listeners, for joining in for Good Word. I'm Dave Thomas.